Thank you. I can't really even chew gum and walk, so I'm going to actually have one of the student pharmacists who helped me advance the slides. So our title is Playing Limbo with Dual Eligible Beneficiaries Out-of-Pocket Cost, Prescription Drug Cost, How Low Can You Go? You guys probably know the game Limbo, right, where you're trying to lower the bar. Well, what we're going to see through the presentation is how we try to lower the bar in terms of out-of-pocket costs for dual eligible beneficiaries. We have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So a little bit of background, there are about 55 million Medicare beneficiaries currently in this country. 36 million, roughly, have a Part D plan. So they have prescription drug benefits through Medicare Part D. Of that population, roughly 1 in 4 actually qualifies not only for Medicare, which most people qualify based on age, some disability, or end-stage renal disease, but also qualify for Medicaid. And to qualify for Medicaid, as many in the room know, you have to have limited economic means. So to qualify for Medicare and Medicaid, you have to do so independently. And individuals that have both Medicare and Medicaid are typically referred to as dual eligible beneficiaries or Medi-Medis. Now, the safeguards in place for duals are many, right? One thing is that if you're a dual eligible beneficiary, you are put into a Part D plan that's considered a benchmark plan, which means that you pay no monthly premium and the Part D plan has some basic benefits. However, that assignment is done randomly. Okay? So what I mean by that is they don't take into account the medications that the beneficiary is taking when they do the random assignment to one of these benchmark plans. And what previous research that we've done has shown is that only 33% or 1 in 3 duals are actually assigned to the lowest cost Part D plan. That's a problem. The second problem is that 13% of duals in another study have reported that they actually have foregone filling a medication due to cost. Now, what's difficult to understand is duals, again, have limited economic means. So there's a lot of provisions in place. Typically, a dual would only have to pay a nominal copay for their medications. Last year, it was $1.20 for a generic medication that was on the formulary and $3.60 for a brand name medication. But yet still, 13% are reporting that they actually are not getting a medication filled due to cost. Finally, duals disproportionately account for Medicaid and Medicare and Medicaid spending. 20% of duals actually account for over 60% of the spending between the two programs. So clearly, work needs to be done in this area. So what we do is we actually have a series of these mobile Medicare clinics, and we kind of deploy them across a large region in Central and Northern California. And what we do during these clinics is we actually assist duals or all Medicare beneficiaries with a variety of services, including trying to lower their out-of-pocket cost through Medicare Part D plan optimization. We perform medication therapy management services and then provide a myriad of healthcare and screening services. Last year, we were actually in 8 different cities. And you can see the cities here. The push pins indicate exactly how many clinic sites we went to in each city. The majority you can see are actually in Stockton. That's because that's where our School of Pharmacy is located. So during these clinic sites, when we're providing the Medicare Part D plan optimization and the MTM services, we actually have a structured interview that the student pharmacists actually go through, and we record a variety of demographic and clinical characteristics about the beneficiary served, but we also record interventional data. So I know this is really small to see, so I want to actually highlight a few variables that might be of interest for you with regards to our presentation today. The first is language. So in total last year during these clinics, there were 151 duals that were assisted, of which you can see that 60%, the entire intervention, was conducted in a language other than English. Not uncommon, because in California we have a lot of non-English speakers. Also, if you look at the education level, 1 in 4 actually had less than the equivalent of a high school diploma. Prescription utilizations among duals in our study population is comparable to that reported in all Medicare beneficiaries. Many studies have reported that on average, Medicare beneficiaries take between 5 to 6 prescription medications a month. Our population took 5.54. Now, we talked about some of the provisions in place to actually help duals, right? The fact that they have very nominal copays, and for many Part D plans, they don't have a monthly premium. But despite that fact, we found that 30% of duals in our population reported that they were not adherent with their medications all of the time. And interestingly, if you ask them about whether the copay could be eliminated or further reduced, would that actually help improve the adherence patterns amongst beneficiaries? And 36% said yes. Eliminating copays or further reducing drug costs, they think, could actually improve compliance patterns. So that's a little bit of the demographics. Now we're going to talk about sort of what we did. And the first slide you're going to see is unassisted duals. So let me kind of explain the schematic here. Basically, on the left-hand side, that palm tree represents the estimated average annual pocket cost. So this is, for each individual, what would have been their out-of-pocket cost if they remained in the same Part D plan in the upcoming year. The right palm tree is basically the number of beneficiaries. So our unassisted duals basically indicates all those duals that we helped last year, but if we did not actually help them optimize their Part D plan, what would have been their out-of-pocket cost? On average, it would have been $791. And that was our study population of 151. But again, what we're trying to do is we're playing limbo, right? So we're going to try to lower that bar and see how low we can get their out-of-pocket cost to be. You might be wondering, well, why, if there's all these provisions in place, are the dual eligible beneficiaries' costs so high? Well, this gentleman actually represents all the duals that weren't provided assistance, or before assistance was provided. And you can see the different colors here. The darker the color, the higher their out-of-pocket cost would have been for the upcoming year. And the relative areas are proportional to the percentage in that category. So if you can see, the darkest blue would account for individuals, dual eligible beneficiaries, whose out-of-pocket cost on prescription drugs for the upcoming year would have been at least $1,000. And that was roughly 20% of our population. Why is that so high? Well, because remember what I said earlier. Duals, again, are randomly assigned to a benchmark plan. So in California last year, we had 7 different benchmark plans. In total, there were 32 different Part D plans, but only 7 qualified for benchmark status. And again, a benchmark plan means their premium would be $0 and it offers a basic benefit. Okay? When they're assigned to these plans, again, it doesn't take into account the formulary of the plan and their exact medication mix. So the assignment is truly random and can help explain why some of the out-of-pocket costs are so high. So that's our baseline, $791. Now let's kind of go through what we provide in terms of interventional assistance. The first thing we did was Part D plan optimization. So here, we looked at their entire prescription medication mix, we looked at pharmacy preferences and other personal parameters, and looked through the entire 32 Part D plans that were available to try to see if we could actually lower their out-of-pocket costs. And you'll see that that number got lowered significantly. So it went down from $791 per person on average per annum all the way down to $79. So this is the average out-of-pocket cost for the beneficiaries that we assisted. And just like our previous research, coincidentally, we found that roughly 2 out of every 3 can lower their out-of-pocket cost just through this Part D plan optimization. Again, emphasizing the need for beneficiary-centered assignment as opposed to random assignment to a Part D plan. Here you can see the breakdown in cost. On the left-hand side of this table represents our entire study population of 151 beneficiaries. On the right-hand side, you can see specifically those who could benefit from the Part D plan optimization. But we wanted to see if the bar could be further lowered. So then what we did was something called formulary optimization. So the way it works is, if you are a dual eligible beneficiary, your Medicare Part D plan is your primary payer of your medications, right? But if you are taking a Part D drug and it's not covered by your Part D plan, Medicaid could pick up the cost for it. And the benefit for a dual eligible beneficiary in California is, if it's covered by your Medicaid, then you actually have a $1 copay, but no pharmacy actually collects that copay in California. So you actually can get the drug at no charge. So it could further lower your cost. So sure enough, what we found is, through the combination of not only Part D plan optimization, but this formulary optimization between Part D plans and our Medicaid formulary, in California it's called Medi-Cal, cost could be again further lowered. And now it was just under $60 per person over the course of the year. And 28% of duals in our state actually, or in our study, could have benefited from the formulary optimization. This number would have been considerably higher, but there were a couple of benchmark plans which actually had a $0 copay for tier 1 generic medications. And that's why it wasn't as high as I was anticipating. And here again is the breakdown. So after the two-pronged approach, you can see that very few beneficiaries actually had out-of-pocket costs as high as $150 in our study compared to prior to the interventional assistance. We had our palm trees, now the coconuts dropped, and here's sort of a schematic as to what the average out-of-pocket cost savings would be from our two interventions. So you can see that the majority of savings are actually going to occur from Part D plan optimization. So simply looking for the lowest cost Part D plan based on their medications and personal parameters. And on average, we found that just through Part D plan optimization, we were able to save beneficiaries about $712, or roughly $60 a month for the upcoming year. Considerable when, again, you consider that to qualify for Medicaid, you have to be living at or below 100% of the federal poverty line. And so they have very limited economic means to begin with. If you talk about not only the Part D plan optimization, but couple that with the formula optimization, there were additional savings, not significant, but it did go up to $731, again, per dual per year. So in conclusion, there's a few things that we want to talk about. One, I know there's been a lot of studies that have called for this intelligent assignment, and it's really important. And if not, if you are a beneficiary advocate or know duals, you need to tell them, just like all Medicare beneficiaries, to annually re-examine their Part D plan, because doing so can actually lower their out-of-pocket costs. The other thing that you might know, or maybe some don't know, is duals can actually switch their Part D plan every month, should they so choose. So if there are any medications that change during the year, they don't have to wait until the Medicare Part D open enrollment period. They can actually change their prescription drug plan in the upcoming month. Second thing is, obviously, not only can significant savings be realized through the Medicare Part D plan optimization, but additional savings could be also realized through formulary optimization, looking at the Medicaid formulary coupled with the Part D formulary. We know that there's this very strong relationship between out-of-pocket costs and medication adherence, right? The higher the out-of-pocket costs, lower medication adherence patterns. So by lowering duals' out-of-pocket prescription drug costs, we believe that medication adherence can be improved, and therefore some of the Medicare Part A and Part B costs can be further lowered. And pharmacists and pharmacy students are ideally positioned. All of the interventions that we talked about today were actually conducted by our pharmacy students under the supervision of licensed pharmacist volunteers. But we think that they're ideally positioned to actually help lower the out-of-pocket drug costs for these dual-eligible beneficiaries without sacrificing any of their clinical outcomes. Finally, this was a small study population in Northern Central California. We would love to love to see if the results are generalizable to other populations, not only in California, but also in other states, because each state has a different Medicaid formulary. And these are some of our references. And I just want to take a minute to, if you indulge me, to really acknowledge the student pharmacists who worked on this research. This is T. We have Kristen, Anna, and Evie, who've been working on this for over a year, and then also my colleague, Dr. Joseph Wolfel, who's one of the co-authors. Thank you so much.
One question? I have one question.
Sure.
One, I think this is a great work, and these sort of localized interventions, I think, are just amazing in their ability to have this sort of impact. But I question the ability to scale up this sort of thing in a very large way. And there's a number of factors why, and I wonder if you thought about this and how you might be able to circumvent this. The first one is, which that I'm sure the random assignment is something that the benchmark plans like very much. And so the intervention really relies on having, you know, the education on the provider side or in clinics such as yours to optimize. But what I'm actually more concerned with is the effects of large-scale optimization. So the great variation you find in different plans, as we know, has to do with the prices they negotiated with the pharmaceutical companies themselves. And those pharmaceutical companies negotiate these plans based upon their internal profit margins and how they expect the market to play out and what they expect takeout to be and the conditions for those other plans. So if you were to have global optimization for folks at lower cost plans, ultimately you would expect in a global environment prices actually to rise across the board for all of those plans. It's sort of the same fallacy folks had with why don't we buy drugs overseas in Canada, because if we actually could do that at large, pharmaceutical companies will raise their prices and lower ours, and we'll find an equilibrium that leaves them at essentially the same perspective, and so there'll be winners and losers. And so again, I think at a local level, this sort of optimization is wonderful, but if this were scaled up, say, nationally in some fashion, we'll just find prices rising in those lower price plans, and overall prices are going to rise for these eligibles. So how would you think about that in a scalable framework?
Can I answer now, or do we want to wait till later?
Yeah, this is more a discussion question rather than...
I will answer your question. Maybe during the discussion.
If you have a two-sentence answer, then you will allow it, but otherwise you should...
It's a great question. I have thought about it, and actually there is a state that actually does beneficiary-centered assignment, and it actually has not raised the out-of-pocket costs for medication prescription drugs in that state. Is that okay? But I will elaborate later. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.